Thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com Radio. Today's featured guest, Peter Eliades. Peter Eliades, editor and publisher of Stock Market Cycles, in the markets for many decades. It's a pleasure to have him back on the show. Welcome back, Peter Eliades.
Thanks a lot, Chris. I appreciate that. It kind of makes me feel old when you say many decades in the market, but it's true. I believe that we are, in terms of price and magnitude of moves, I believe we're very close to a market top. But having said that, I will also say that on the intermediate term, short to intermediate term, I think we are, in fact, we may be at a market top. But I don't believe it's going to be the final market top. There are so many things happening internally in the market, Chris, in terms of strength and breadth and advanced decline line and 52-week highs that intimate that if this is going to be a top, then it's not going to last very long, that there should be a higher high after this, or at least a test of these highs with the kind of divergences we like to begin to see at market tops. We have not seen those divergences yet, and that's one of the main reasons why it does not make sense that we're at a top here. On the other hand, if we look at things on a more fundamental basis, and I very seldom do that, but there certainly is a very strong argument, as you stated, that money has to go somewhere, and right now, we look like the only game in town to a lot of people with a lot of money.
I wonder if you could tell your thoughts on the market sentiment. It seems a bit frothy. The put-to-call ratio and several other metrics just seem to indicate that maybe bullishness has reached almost a fevered pitch.
Yeah, I would agree with that also. I don't know as I go so far to say a fevered pitch, but it is certainly in many metrics as high or higher than it's been in quite a long period of time. In fact, we could argue that it's higher now and many measurement factors than it was at the highs in May of 2015 for most of the market averages. And let's also point out, Chris, that the New York Composite Index, which is theoretically at least the most broadly based of all market measurements with every stock on the New York Exchange, has not yet gone to a new high above the May 2015 highs. That high, by the way, was one that I did not think would be broken by either the Dow or the S&P. And now that it has been, I think we really are living on borrowed time here. I can see this extending into the fall. But, of course, the fall is only a couple of months away now. We get ourselves a decent decline here and then a move back to these levels with, as I said earlier, the kind of deterioration internally in the market that I think is required to see an important top. And we may be looking at something that's a lot more important.
A few years ago, you could count on virtually a good, solid 3, 4, 5, 7% return on a diversified portfolio. Those days they're just gone. It's ancient history. You're lucky to earn 1, 2% dividend yields, of course, across the board on the S&P. And, of course, the price-to-earnings ratio, very extended relative to historic norms. We have the bond market as well, reaching extremely frothy levels simultaneously. This just doesn't traditionally occur, tend to be more negatively correlated, that is, stocks and bonds. Can you give us some reasoning behind it, or would you prefer to stick with the technicals?
Well, I think you've hit upon the exact reasoning for it, Chris, and that is that they're, let's look at it this way. The people we have to feel sorry for, and I'm moving into that category myself, are the people that have worked hard all their lives, amassed themselves a certain amount of money that they figured they could retire on, a comfortable interest rate, conservatively gained at 5, 6, maybe even 7% if they were lucky, and they'd be set for the rest of their lives. Well, guess what they're getting now? You know as well as I do that they can't make 1% on their money. So if you're faced with that after these decades of hard work and labor, figuring you'd be okay if you amassed a certain amount of money, they now have to become seekers of market return, and they go out and do things they should not be doing. They should not be putting money in places where there is risk involved. But indeed, that's the only place where they have any promise at all of making money. So that becomes a huge problem, and it's a problem that in pretty big fashion and not too far away. But it's hard to put your finger on exactly when the price is going to start to be paid for all of that. I mean, what rising interest rates are going to do is finally make these people the fixed income people that have worked for so long to get themselves some money they can retire with, a little happier. But on the other hand, that's going to completely rip apart our system that is so heavily based on debt right now, both on an individual consumer basis and on the governmental basis. So it's almost a no-win proposition, Chris, in terms of the next 2 or 3 years.
I don't think a host could ask for a better segue into alternatives to the paper assets, because chasing a yield is just a non sequitur at this point. It really leaves us in a bind as investors, and we start searching around for value, better relative value. And of course, near the beginning of this year, investors said, wait, there's value, especially in a negative rate environment, over $13 trillion worldwide now in debt and sovereign debt going into negative territory. That really makes precious metals an intriguing alternative. And whether or not you like them or not, or whether you even allocate any to a portfolio or not, the story is compelling now after many tough years.
Yeah, I used to follow the precious metals markets a lot more closely than I do now, Chris. But certainly on a long time being around basis, saying that, you know, we know, although some people might argue, but gold is really the ultimate money, and that there is definitely value there. The question becomes, what are people willing to trade up for? What kind of risk are they willing to take? I mean, the old expression used to be that an ounce of gold would always buy a good quality man's suit. I don't know what that means anymore, because you can get a decent quality man's suit for $300 or $400, but the kind of quality that we're talking about may be more like $1,000 or $2,000 suit. So is gold overpriced here? I don't believe it is, but it's obviously in a situation where it faces what we might all be facing, and that is a deflationary situation. And I'm just not smart enough to know what's going to happen with gold in a deflationary situation. I can give you an argument for a move in either direction. I think the most important area to touch on, and it's not a timing tool, and it doesn't tell us where the market's going to be next month, next week, or next year, but we are, without question, once again, and it's happened now 3 times in the last decade and a half, in one of the most overvalued markets in history. I would encourage, I don't know if you ever speak to him in terms of interview, Chris, but I would encourage your subscribers and your listeners to listen to Hussman of Hussman Econometrics. He's got a website. It's free. It doesn't cost any money. Go and look at his interpretation of where we are valuation-wise, and he actually has a valuation metric and that has worked over a long period of time, over the last century, let's say, as opposed to the so-called Federal Reserve valuations and all these little game-playing things out there that really have nothing to do with true value or undervalued or overvalued measurements in the stock market. We are truly at one of the most overvalued levels in the history of the stock markets.
Everyone listening to Peter Leidy's voice today will have links for you. Just click those links at the website or the email as you come across it. Really interesting information at the HussmanFunds.com. I think that's the one you're referring to.
Yes, it is. And he does a weekly commentary. I don't know what it's listed under, but it's on his main website. And I think it's under weekly commentary.
He shares your idea, basic premise on market cycles and themes and biases. Very interesting reading. So I hope folks will look into that there. We'll definitely put up the links there, as well as to Peter Leidy's market cycles as well. Hope you have an excellent summer sabbatical.
Always fun to talk to you, Chris. Thank you.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the 8th largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch.
Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garnero, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Ria project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond. Your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.